Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Beauty Talk. I'm your host, Janice Fidel, for today, Sunday, December 21st. Today we're speaking with Narelle Hollis, but before we speak with Narelle, I just want to remind everyone that the call-in number for tonight is 914-803-4399. Again, that number is 914-803-4399. So use that number if you have a comment or a question. Remember to press the option to speak with the host if you want to speak. You can also join us on Twitter as we tweet during the show, and you can use the hashtag Beauty Lounge if you want to follow the conversation. Welcome to the show, Narelle.
Hey, how are you?
We are wonderful, wonderful, trying to make it home for Christmas. So we're actually doing the show from a hotel in North Carolina.
Okay.
So we'll finish our trip tomorrow, but just kind of excited about the Christmas holiday and one show, so ready for a little time off. So what have you been up to since the last time we interviewed you on the show? I know it's been at least 2 years, if not longer.
Yeah, I guess it has been that long.
Yeah. So what's been going on with you? What's new since then? I can't even remember what was going on with you back then.
Well, I think, let's see, what's happened since, I guess 2 years ago, I became artistic director for Black Opal. Let's see what else. I am also writing a book, and that's about it so far.
That's a lot.
Yeah, I guess it is.
That is a lot. Tell us a little bit, because I know some of the listeners may be interested in this. Tell us a little bit about what it means to be artistic director.
Basically, what that title entails is what you're doing is basically forecasting for the brand. So they pick you because they think that you may have some insight on where cosmetics or a brand may be going in the future. I'll help pick out the new colors, new color combinations, change the formulations of some foundations to what the mass may want more of. So basically that's it, you know. So basically forecasting or bringing the brand into a current direction.
Gotcha. Let me ask you, because, you know, social media is so big these days. Do you think social media plays a big part in kind of doing that with the brand and bringing the brand kind of what's going on, you know, today with popularity of brands? Do you think social media plays a big part in that?
I can't say unfortunately, because it's great that social media is good. Social media plays a huge part in everything. It's awesome to have social media, because you really know the ins and outs immediately of the product. The only thing bad about social media is that you have to be so fast, because it's people change their mind so quick that it's
right.
I change it to something, and then a week later they're tired of that and they need something else. So that's the only
right.
bad thing about social media is kind of, what can I say? You don't really have time to actually sit and enjoy and think of things because people are on to the next so quick that you can't, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? So that's the only kind of bad thing about social media. Otherwise, the social media is a blessing because you get to know what's wrong, what's, you know, mm-hmm. what's needed, what, you know, very quickly.
Now, is that a big part of what you do as an artistic director? Are you kind of, do you have to kind of be like on social media a lot to find out, you know, what's happening, you know, the trends and forecasting?
Yes, very much so. And that's the one thing that that I had to learn because I'm not a big social media person. Never was. I really didn't. I was one of those people that's like, I'm eating right now. I don't have time to tweet, you know. So
right.
I've always been that person. But then I've learned that, you know, you either get with it or get out. So
right.
You have to get with it.
Unfortunately, you get with it or get out.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think social media has changed your career personally? Director, but being just makeup artist.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I didn't know that I was as popular as a makeup artist until social media, because I just didn't pay attention to it. And then once I started getting into social media, people started telling me how they followed my career, and I was like, really? What was it that you followed? Because I, in my mind, I'm not thinking that I'm doing things that are so big that, you know, people in Minnesota, people in Utah, people in Canada, that
mm-hmm.
they would be out. I'm thinking I'm very local, you know, but social media definitely helps span out your work and your you know, the things that you've done, so.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree with that because, you know, being a film and television makeup artist, you know, you always hear people say, you know, you're behind the scenes type
right.
of artist. Like, our work is not shown in magazines or on runways or anything like that. And for a long time, a lot of people never sat down and read the credits, you know, at the end of the movie. Here's the movie going up on their way out.
Right.
And it's not until down and watches or a family member sits down and watches. And then they start telling people, now all of a sudden a lot of people are kind of sitting back and reading credits. You know, until then, I never knew that people knew what I did.
Right.
You know what I mean? Or even followed my work.
Right.
So you're right. Social media has really played a big part in that.
Mm-hmm.
It really has. What are some of the changes that you've noticed about just the beauty industry in general since you started?
You know, I didn't realize that so many people wanted to be makeup artists or hairstylists.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
That is huge right now, and I don't know mm-hmm. if it's because they think that we're super rich or we're celebrities or that it's something easy to do to make quick money, or if the passion for the job has actually grown that much.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to say that I don't believe the latter just because
right.
I just don't believe that one. But mm-hmm. it seems to me that it's been such a huge influx of people that wanted to be in the creative talent industry. That's one thing that I have noticed.
Yeah, that's true.
Hopefully it's, you know, because of the passion, but I don't know if I believe that.
Right.
I don't know if I believe that.
You know, it's funny that you said that behind, but I was just saying actually last night, after this job that I just finished literally yesterday, I was saying to myself, if people knew what everyone on this project experienced, they would change their minds about wanting to do it. People think that it's so, and you hear people say all the time, you know, this business is not glamorous, and that's true. It's not glamorous. Sometimes you find yourself in very uncomfortable situations, whether it's you're working out in the cold, you're working extreme long hours, whatever the situation may be. Sometimes you have to literally, and I do mean literally, fight for your money.
Yeah.
You know, and I often wonder, because a lot of that takes you away from the part of it all. So it just often makes me wonder, you know, if people knew some of the things that you had to go through just to say that you were the makeup artist for this television show or for this film, you know, or whatever it is, they would think twice. Have you experienced anything that made you say, you know what, I'm not so sure people would want to do this if they had to go through what I just went through?
You know, I'll tell you one thing. There's definitely been a lot of that, and I recently left the show that I was working on because there is a lot of politics and things that go on behind the scene that you would not know about. And after a while, you just can't take it anymore. Or there's a lot of things that become redundant, and you can't grow as an artist. So, you know, with certain things, you just have to recognize when your time is up, when it's, you know, no matter how big the show is or how, you know, how many people watch it or how many people love that you're doing it, sometimes you have to just know when it's your time to go and to move on to a different project. Definitely.
You know what? You just said the key word, grow. And I think that's so important that you have to know that in growing in this business, you have to know when to say, okay, enough of that, time for me to move on. And sometimes moving on doesn't necessarily mean that there is something right there sitting there waiting for you.
At all.
It may take a minute for something else to come along, but you just have to know enough is enough.
Exactly.
You know, and when you go, you have to go and don't look back. Kind of discourage them or turn them around rather.
Right.
And say, okay, you know what, it's not time for me to leave yet. You know, I don't have anything else. Sometimes you have to be willing to just step out there and just move on.
You know, and I like what you said there, because there's a lot of people a lot of makeup artists that I talk to, and they're like, oh, I want to be freelance, but, you know, I don't know, you know, blah, 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 and they work a 9-to-5, and they're, you know, scared and blah, 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 blah. Well, you know, I always tell them, well, if you're scared, don't do it. Like, if you feel as if you don't have anything going or anything happening, then, you know, I can't tell you to give up your livelihood for your passion, because it's kind of hard these days. But I still have that drive in me that I had when I was 18 and 19. And, you know, I recently gave up that job without having – there's nothing, but I know that I can get something. So it's
right.
You know, because I have that passion still, and I'm still willing to hit the pavement. I'm still willing to, you know – do odd jobs. I'm still willing to do all those things in order for me to get to where I need to go.
Right. Absolutely. What do you think, because I like what you just said, and for some of those makeup artists out there who may be doing something that they really aren't happy about right now, and they're not happy with the job any longer, and they want to move on, what do you think are some key things that makes one a great makeup artist, makes one marketable, makes one always in a position to be employed or get, you know, or get jobs?
I think the number one thing is to probably always have a good attitude, to be consistent, and yeah, just being consistent in your attitude and how you are, you know. Just always being, you know, good at what you do, you know, making sure your client is happy.
Mm-hmm.
I think the minute that those things stop, then it's time for you to go before you damage your career.
Good point. point. You know, and it's important for makeup artists, hairstyles, you know, whatever you are, to know that it's not all about makeup and it's not all about hair.
At all.
Having that great attitude, being very consistent, that's what's going to take you a long way.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely going to take you a long way. You were self-taught, correct?
Yes.
Can you speak a little bit about the importance of education in this industry?
I'm sorry, say that again?
I said, can you speak a little bit about the importance of education? You know, we have all of these ways for makeup artists to get an education, whether it's through seminars, trade shows, classes. Can you just speak a little bit about the importance of not necessarily going to makeup school? A lot there. I know there's a lot of self-taught artists out there.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily going to having to go to a school and complete a program, but just the importance of always, you know, seeking knowledge about, you know, what's new or, you know, new techniques, learning, just being open to learning.
Okay.
And how do you think that would help someone's career?
Oh, sure. Even though I was self-taught, I still know that there's an importance in education. So I self-taught myself for a minute, and then about 2 or 3 years later, after I'd already started working and doing jobs, I decided to enroll in International School of Skin and Nails, which is in Atlanta. And, you know, I learned about skin and, you know, different products. And every company that I worked for, I took a continuing education with that company, you know, learning about their products, what these vitamins do, what doesn't mix, what products mix with what products, knowing product knowledge, you know. All those things are super important. I feel like if I did not go to school, that I would kind of be a little behind. And I think school is very, very important, because if you just end up, let's say, for instance, you just started doing makeup, and then your girlfriend or your cousin or auntie or whoever gets a huge recording deal, and then you end up working with her. Now all of a sudden you're a celebrity makeup artist. Boom. You're doing all this stuff, blah, 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 all this stuff happens. Next thing you know, you have an interviewer come to you and ask you, what are your favorite products and why?
Mm-hmm.
You have no answer for that because you don't know. That's why education is so important, because things happen so fast. You know, the reason I bring that scenario up is because I have two counterparts that's actually happened to, and they did not know what to say.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, somebody that does a really big person, and they kind of came up off of the, you know, they've been doing that person's hair forever, blah, 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 and then, you know, boom, they didn't even know what to say. So you have to always, you know, educate yourself. Whatever you do, whatever your career path is, you need to educate in it so you will not be behind.
Hold on 1 second. I think, let me make sure. I can hear my sister out of one ear. Okay, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. not just for, like, branding opportunities or opportunities to work for certain brands, but even more importantly, you know, just if you have a client or, you know, everyday woman who's getting her makeup done or her hair done,
mm-hmm.
and she wants advice, and
mm-hmm.
you have no idea of what to tell her when you don't have product knowledge.
Exactly.
I mean, really, it almost makes you look stupid as an artist.
It does. It does.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And if I'm not mistaken, the school that you said you went to, I think that's the same school my sister attended. Did you say ISSN?
Yeah, ISSN.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool. What do you think, Morel, since we're talking about products, what do you think are, maybe let's say, what do you think the top 5 products, no particular order, every makeup artist should have in their kit? What do you think that would be?
See, top 5. Black Opal, because we definitely have a beautiful selection of African American skin tones. Multi-ethnic skin tones. Sigma. I love Sigma products, and they're very, very good at with artist relations. Makeup Forever, by far. I love the brand. I love just most of their products in there and how in tune they are with skin and color, and they're not bought by huge cosmetic companies, so it's still made for the artist.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see, who else do I have in my kit that I love? I love Embryo Lease for all their skincare. Mm-hmm. And I love Laura Mercier.
And what do you use from Laura Mercier?
Their translucent powder, their secret concealer, their brows, bronzers, the tinted moisturizers.
That's what I use, tinted moisturizer.
Yeah, they have a couple of things in there, a couple of new things that I love. And then on the personal side, I love all their all their bath stuff.
Now, correct me if I'm saying this wrong. You started out grooming, right? Or am I?
No, I started out with makeup. I started out with makeup.
Okay.
Yeah, I think what happened was that a lot of my excuse me, it was a long day at work today. I ended up working with Puffy. And because Puffy is kind of an A-list client, that's pretty much where people only thought that I could do, that I only did men's makeup. And so men started hitting me up more. And I'm like, okay, where are the women? Where are the women?
Where are the women?
Yeah, you know, so that's what ended up happening.
Gotcha. Is there a difference? And if so, what's the difference with doing makeup for men and women? I mean, it's obvious that, you know, if you're making up men, you're not, doing all the things that you do to a woman. But what's the big difference with grooming a man and making up a woman? Or is there?
Yeah, there's definitely a difference. It also depends on what kind of man that you're doing. There's so many different genre of men these days that are in entertainment. So there's...
Mm-hmm.
It's a little different. But for my male clients, basically what I like to do is make them look flawless without being too perfect. I don't know how to explain that, but just make them still be rugged, because, you know, that's the whole point of, you know, I'm still old school. So, you know, even though, you know, I'm not going to contour man, I'm just not going to do it, you know, unless they are maybe heavy set or it's a character makeup job that I'm doing. But if it's for an everyday man, he's not getting contoured, I'm not curling his lashes, he's not getting a lip gloss, you know, those things I feel are, you know, that may be for a different kind, you know, a character of a man. But usually the men I do, it's more of an anti-shine, a skincare, a concealer, a powder to take down shine. That's it.
Right.
You know. And, you know, for my women, of course, they get the, you know, everything. But, you know, there has to be some kind of separation in between each one, you know, between a man and a woman. I mean, I did notice, you know, during at the makeup show, there's a lot of, you know, similarities in male makeup and female makeup, but I'm pretty old school when it comes to doing my men's makeup.
Right. Absolutely. Talk a little bit about, I know we talked a little bit about social media, but talk a little bit about what we're seeing on social media. And this is not, you know, bashing anyone or putting anyone down or anything like that, but because we talked a little bit about there's a big influx of people wanting to do makeup and wanting to do hair. And I was looking at someone's the other day, and she had a lot of, like, before and after. All of her pictures were before and after.
Mm-hmm.
And do you think that, and I once said once before on this show that I believe that, you know, every professional artist should have a social, not a social media, but should have a presence on the web, meaning having a website.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think that our Instagram pages of for a great display of our work, or should our Instagram pages be, you know, kind of like a mix of everything, you know, your life, some of your work, products you love, if you're a makeup artist or hairstylist, things like that. Do you think that we should have all of those before and afters on our Instagram, you know, as a way of, like, showing people our work and what we can do and possibly getting jobs?
Well, I'm a little torn at that point because, once I said, once again, I am from a different day and age of when I started out. A lot of people are using Instagram as their portfolio, as a way of getting clients and things of that nature. I'm all for it if you can do it, but for me, I don't have time to do before and afters. I just don't have time because I get up and I go to work. So I don't have time to, you know, hey, girl, come over here. Let me do a before and after picture of you and stuff like that. I don't have time for that. And not saying that it's not a good thing, but I just choose to go in a different direction. I don't. My clientele doesn't look at Instagram. They look at portfolios. They look at your body of work. They look at you know, things that you've done corporately or tear sheets or, you know, things of that nature.
Right.
I know there's a lot of celebrities that grab their clients from Instagram. So if you want to be a celebrity makeup artist, depending on what kind of celebrity it is, you may you might as well get a client, you know, from there. But if I was a celebrity, I'm going for a portfolio. If I happen to click and I see somebody doing Instagram, you know, an Instagram thing, and if there are before and afters, please let them be before and afters of people that are other people besides yourself.
Right.
Anybody can do that self 20 times and do
exactly.
different looks. Of course, it's your face. You do it all the time. It's going to be perfect, especially with
exactly.
the filters and things. So,
right.
you know, let it be someone different. You know, I always tell people, too, you know, a lot of people think that, you know, you have 500,000 followers, which recently I know a lot of those numbers dropped because of the whole Instagram thing. But 500,000 followers does not equal $500,000
exactly.
at all. So some of these people who have those, you go to their house. It's not the same. It doesn't
right.
equal the same, you know. You know, but I think it's a good thing for the younger artists to actually just showcase their work, but it's kind of a false sense of gratification, a little bit to me.
Mm-hmm.
So. I don't want young artists to think that that's all they need to do because in a little bit, Instagram is going to be over. Then it's going to be Pinterest. Then we're
going right.
for Pinterest because Pinterest is actually really an online portfolio.
Exactly.
Instagram isn't.
That's correct. So true. So true.
Who do you admire? Give me one makeup artist, act or present, that you really admire their work?
Well, I'm always going to admire Sam Fine. I love Kevin Aquan, Scott Barnes, Billy B.
Mm-hmm.
Who else do we have in there? I love Sir John. There's a couple of different. It's a couple of artists. Vincent, James Vincent, and let's see who. Oh, there's a couple of different artists that
well,
I love.
I'm sorry. Let me ask you this, because you just named a bunch of men, and the reason why I made a point of that is to say, you know, women love male makeup artists. Can you tell us female makeup artists what that's all about?
You know what I think it is? I think that with that, it's just like men love female artists. I think it's just that it's basically the whole women want to know what men think of them.
Mm-hmm.
So I always think it comes to that. Like, whether you're gay or straight, they want to know what you think of them, so that the straight guy, you know, our representation of what we want you to look like, usually the straight guy wants you to look like that too. So it's, I think that's always been in the back of my mind. And also, there's no competition with me that it would be with you. It's kind of, especially like celebrity women. Celebrity, I always say this to like my assistant girls and stuff like that, especially if you're real cute and you got a little body, cover all that up, come to work regular. Because I promise you, come in a short skirt and a crop top, that will be your last time working for that client.
Exactly.
That's the man.
Exactly. Right.
It's just a different thing. Like, I can come to work in a tight shirt and tight pants and stuff. I'm no threat. But a girl would be a threat to a woman client.
Gotcha.
It's very weird, but it's an unspoken thing, but it happens.
Gotcha. What's your dream makeup job?
My who?
Your dream makeup job. What would be your, like, dream job?
My dream job would be to work for a corporation where I sit back and pretty much forecast all the colors, all the lashes, all the skincare that's going to be happening, all the packaging, what the consumer wants. I want to be the consumer's makeup artist. So maybe for Procter & Gamble, working for an Estee Lauder, and being their key makeup artist for all their brands under their umbrella.
Gotcha. So would you say that you're kind of, with what you're doing with Black Oprah, you're kind of headed in that direction?
Yes.
Like the first step?
I'm sorry,
I didn't hear. I said, would you say that working with Black Oprah was kind of like you heading in that direction, like sort of this is like the first step toward that?
Definitely.
Okay. And so how does being artistic director, how does that all fit in with your career, your freelance career? Like, is it hard to balance, or is everything kind of going well enough where you can kind of handle that schedule as well as your other schedule?
Well, that's a good thing. I've always been that person that had like 50,000 jobs and be able to balance them all. So it's actually working better now. I tell you one thing, working at a talk show, going to work every single day and having to be there every day is not for me. Because there's something that you have to do all the time. I've never been that person. You know, I have to be able to spread my wings.
Mm-hmm.
So the good thing about Black Opal is Black Opal allows me to be able to do other jobs. In fact, they encourage doing other jobs and doing other things. As for a talk show, if you're not there one day, it's basically like a 9-to-5. If you miss a day of work, you know, you get wrote up. You know, there's things
mm-hmm.
like that. You know, if you only knew how many pink slips and how many times I've been wrote up at that Wendy show, you would die. You would die, literally. Like, I am basically the bad kid in school at that
right,
show.
Right, right. But
yeah.
You know what? When you just said that about being at the show every day, I thought about something very similar to that when you said earlier in the show about, you know, growing and moving forward. I thought about actually a situation like, it's just like with my television series, and the television series shoots for like 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a whole lot of other stuff going on. Everything is still moving forward and going on while you're still on this show. And just imagine doing the show year after year after year for 6 months of your life for, let's say, 5 or 6 years. It's almost like some people can handle doing that and they're okay with that,
mm-hmm.
you know, but for me, just like you, after a while, I'm going to be like, okay, you know what, this is a bit much. I want to be able to move past this and do something else, or, you know, so I do understand how just being at that one for, you know, like you said, every single day, it's kind of hard when you're the type of person who likes to move around a bit.
Yeah. And you know, I've had many nightmares to where, you know, I said that I was, you know, let's say I'm, you know, it's been 6 years that I've been there. And it's no stopping. Like she's going to continue to keep going. I'm sure she'll be on the air for 10, 12, 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm thinking when I leave this show, or, you know, the show retires or whatever, I'm going to be that old man looking for a job.
Mm-hmm.
With no security, with nothing. When she retires or she goes to Malibu or Hawaii or whatever like that with her family and all that stuff like that, I will have these old tear sheets in my book of only Wendy Williams
mm-hmm.
and nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
That would kill me. That would hurt.
Yeah,
because, you know, you need other things, you know what I mean? And I don't think I want to be that person.
Right. Well, I'm glad you said that, because it really gives artists something to think about, you know, for those who find themselves in situations like that. You know, if it's something that you really want to do,
mm-hmm.
it's good to hear you say, I don't think I really want to do that. And
right.
sort of saying, you know what, if I leave, I'm leaving a paycheck, because a lot of people think like that.
Right.
You know, that's all.
Yeah, and, you know, I thought about
paycheck.
That. You know, that consistent paycheck, that check coming in every Friday, what? But, you know, now you can either have that for, you know, however, or you can actually be able to spread your wings and be able to do different things. And, you know, you might end up doubling that. It won't be as consistent, but you know, it won't be every Friday, but your money will still be there. You know, it'll actually be more.
Absolutely. I think it's important to really think and reevaluate. Do you ever take the time, like, let's say, maybe, you know how, like, at the end of the year, everyone's thinking about the new year, and everybody's coming up with these resolutions. This is what I'm going to do. This, that, other. Do you kind of have that same attitude ever when it comes to your career? Do you ever stop to say, or to reevaluate, you know, where am I?
and where do I want to be, and what am I doing right now that's going to lead me to where I want to be? Or, okay, I'm not doing what I need to be doing right now, so what should I be doing? Do you ever take the time to kind of reevaluate what's going on with Morel Hollis, the makeup artist?
I actually did it this year.
Okay.
And I hadn't done it in a while, and I'm thinking just because I've just turned 37, and, you know, I sat and I looked and did not think of a lot of my counterparts that I work with who are at that state to where it's hard for them to find stuff, even though they're established and they're huge artists. But I sat back and I thought for a second. I was like, what am I doing right now that's going to help my future? Because right now is perfect. Right now my life is exactly where I need to be. But I'm a little bit too comfortable. Mm-hmm. And for me, when I'm comfortable, it's never a good thing. Never. The only way that I work best under pressure and when I'm uncomfortable. And I've been comfortable way too long. You know, it's cool to sit back and be comfortable and relax every now and then, especially for me. Like, you know, maybe a year or two of comfortability, and I'm fine. But 5 years is kind of, okay, what are you doing?
Right.
You know, what? Nothing in your book has changed. None of your clients have changed. Nothing's changed. Okay, this seems a little weird. This is kind of like retirement, you know, when nothing's changing. So I just felt like this year I needed to shake something up, and I did, and I'm ready for whatever life brings.
All right. I support that 100%. What's next for Morel?
What's next for Morel is I'm going to continue, you know, product branding and continue working with Black Opal, and definitely seek out new clientele, and building my book and finishing my book, and basically rebranding the Morel Hollis Inc.
So can you tell us anything about your book, or do we have to wait?
You have to wait.
Oh.
I trust me, I want to say something so bad, and my publisher is like, "Will you shut up? You talk too much." I say every single thing. They're like, "Just be quiet for a little bit. I promise we'll let you know when you can talk." So.
All right, we'll wait.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Morel. I know our time is up. Well, we're excited about what's going on. I'm really happy for you. Sounds like this is an exciting time for you.
You know, I can honestly say that. I actually am happy and excited right now. It's weird.
Mm-hmm. I can tell. And it's good, you know, it's a fresh start, so, and that's always good, even though it may, when you know at what point you need that fresh start.
Right.
So, I'm excited for you. Please, when you can talk about the book, please come back on the show and talk to us about the book. Let us be the first.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, thank you so much, and have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful holiday and a happy new year.
You
yes.
too.
All
right. Talk to you guys later.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So now we have a little bitty news before we go off the air. Right.
Yes. That was some great info from Morel. I mean, I think he left us all with a little something to think about, and I'm just so excited that, again, like you said, he's at a point in his career, you know, where he feels good and he feels confident about starting some things over in his life. So that's great. I think we all need to kind of sit back and take a look at where we are in our careers and, fine tune it a bit and make necessary changes. But just a little bit of beauty news. Really quickly wanted to encourage you all, if you're not following us, to follow us on Twitter, we're beauty_talk. On Instagram, we're beauty_talk_media. On Facebook, we are Beauty Talk Online Radio. And then if you are following us on BBM, or if you'd like to follow us on BBM, you can go to bbm.com, that's BlackBerry Messenger, or just simply bbm.com. And our channel is Beauty Talk with Illusions, and our PIN number is C002EB072. That's C as in Charlie, 002, E as in Edward, B as in Boy, 072. Compete with the best. NAHA 2015, recognizing the artistry and skill of the professional salon industry. Register now for NAHA 2015. Online entries only will be accepted. Registration deadline is February 19th, 2015. Compete in the industry's most prestigious photographic beauty competition. Registration is now open for the 2015 North American Hairstyling Awards. NAHA recognizes the professional salon industry's most talented and cutting-edge artists in 14 distinct categories of excellence. The new category for 2015 will be Nail Professional of the Year, and I'm kind of excited about this category because a few years ago, amongst all of the hair competitions that they hosted in this competition, they added Makeup Artist of the Year. So I'm really excited about the Nail Professional of the Year. So I'm kind of interested in seeing it's going to take place this next year. Learn from the masters. Get an insider's perspective on entering NAHA 2015. You can go to the website and watch the free three-part webinar that's on demand now for the competition. And you can check all of this out at the Professional Beauty Association or PBA.com. Marietta Carter Narcisse is coming out with her third MUA planner for 2015. You can share this with all of your friends. You can save 30% off of the MUA planner today by placing your order today and at checkout using the coupon code PREMUAP2015. Again, that's PREMUAP2015. PREMUAP 2015, and you can purchase that online at MariettaCarter-Narcisse.com. Again, MariettaCarter-Narcisse, and Narcisse is spelled N-A-R-C-I-S-S-E. And that's all I have.
All right, sounds good. We will have a show next Sunday, the 28th, and our guest is the winner of season one of Nailed It. So make sure you join us here for that interview next Sunday night, same time at 9 p.m. And, again, that's the last show of the season, actually. So last show of the year, rather. So make sure you tune in. And we'll be back on the top. So tell everyone, spread the word, and we'll shoot it up to you one more time.
And one last thing, so also I just wanted to say we'll be entering into year number 7 coming up next year. So stay tuned and stay with us, and we promise to have a lot of wonderful shows coming up in the new season. But also, for those of you who may have missed the show last week, we did not come on at 9 p.m., we actually aired live at 3 p.m. last Sunday because we interviewed Nigerian makeup artist Lola Maja Okojovo. And if you want to check out that show, if you haven't, go back to the website at blogtalkradio.com / Beauty Talk with Illusions, and you can check out the show with Lola, and you can hear all that we discussed and all the fun that we had last Sunday at 3 p.m. So, again, you can go back and check out any of the archive shows, actually. And that's it.
All right. A big thank you again to Morel Hollis, who's finally I'm glad we finally were able to reschedule him and get him on. So, again, if you guys don't have anything else, that is our show for again. Have a wonderful holiday. Merry Christmas. And we'll be back before the end of the year. Have a beautiful and blessed week. Good night, everybody.
Good night.